Welcome back, everyone, to a brand new edition of Getting Color right here on the BigVitoBrand.com. I am Virtue, and that is the traveling man himself, Big Vito LaGrasso. What's up?
How are you doing, Virtue? I'd like to say happy Mother's Day to everyone today, and I hope everybody had a great time. As you know, Virtue, I was in New Jersey last night. And I received a Hall of Fame plaque from the ISBW. Yes, I did. And, you know, first thing I said in my speech, I said, it'll probably be the only award I'll ever get in wrestling, you know. And I didn't do this to win awards, because when I broke into business, it wasn't about Hall of Fame, it was about being a wrestler.
Yeah.
So all my mentors were there. And it was like, you know, it was a convention, and it was kind of fitting because Demolition was there. I wrestled Bill Eadie so many times, and he taught me. I mean, that guy taught me the wrestling business. And what set me apart from a lot of the guys in the wrestling business was the fact that in my first year, I was on WCW TV. My first match was against, you know, beautiful Bobby Eaton. I got hit with the Alabama Jam, right? Mm-hmm. Paulie Dangerously was my commentator for that great event. And then I was in the WWF, and I was wrestling the Bret Harts, the Bulldogs, the Boss Mans, Coco and Owen, and the Legion of Doom, and Typhoon, and so many guys. And when I went back to wrestling school, I was different than all the guys because I was wrestling the pros on TV. A lot of people didn't understand my way of training and the way I looked at the business because I'm wrestling the greats of the business. Hell, who wrestles Bret Hart for Intercontinental title in their first year? I mean, on TV.
Yeah.
Nobody, you know what I mean? And a lot of people took that the wrong way. And I said that last night, and I wasn't very well-liked for my demeanor. I mean, they were talking about stories when we got there on Friday night, and they brought up the fact that a wrestler I won't name, you know, Tom Brandy brought up his name, and he said, yeah, that Vito boy, I tell you, he was telling the story how this big football player who's 6'6", said he wasn't going to put me over, and I was working for Tommy Jeanette at the time, and they said, Vito, what are you going to do about it? His cousin Luke, AJ Petruzzi, Johnny Rods, Tommy Jeanette, Tom Brandy was standing there. I says, really? He's not going to put me over. I said, how much time do I have? He says, Vito, you have 20 minutes. I grinded my teeth so mad. I was so mad because I was working four times a day for Tommy Jeanette. And here I, this guy won't put me over. He just came to town. Well, first time he hit me with a big shoulder tackle, I didn't move. I ate this guy up, blew him up. At 19 minutes and 59 seconds, Tom Brandy says, Vito, it took him 5 minutes to get up to the top rope. He was so sucking it. He came off the top, and what I did to teach him a lesson, I got up and I was jumping around like I won while he was eating wind on the floor. He couldn't breathe, right? He thought that was the greatest lesson because that's what you did. You know, Jake the Snake was there. You had Demolition, Brutus Beefcake, Greg Valentine, Coco Beware, you know, guys who really, you know, took the time. And J.J. Dillon, to this day, I still thank that man for giving me my first pro contract. And guys didn't understand that. When you sign your first pro contract, guy sitting there, you'll go over and shake his hand. What's missing in the business, Mr. Virtue, every time a veteran got in the building, like Tommy Rich walked in, and I worked with him in Memphis during that Rage in the Cage, and every time a veteran came in, was myself, Mark Henry, Tom Brandy, we all got up off our seats where we were sitting during this buffet luncheon, it was shake their hands, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
You get up and you shake their hands. Yeah, that's a long lost art. So I was up until 12:40 that night on Friday night, and we were telling stories. The guys were laughing. They says, man, this is great stuff. And you don't think of yourself as an old timer, but then like when you have all the stories and you're telling stories about the guys in the business, and these guys, they're all fans, you know. And Virgil, I don't know if you were part of it, but AOL AIM. Were you part of AOL back in the day when you were a kid?
I remember. I had Instant Messenger and AOL email.
Do you know how many men today I spoke to as kids on AOL Messenger? I spoke to everybody on that thing. Nobody speaks to anybody on AOL Messenger. I spoke to everybody, right? Yeah,
that was the way to do it back then. That and Yahoo Messenger.
Right.
That was how texting started on the computer, and then it migrated to phones. And
the funny thing is that these kids turned into men, and they thanked me for the advice I gave them as kids. You know, and they came up with their beautiful families. I look what I have. And some of them had tears in their eyes. And they said, thank you for giving me that advice. I listened to you. I listened to everything you ever said to me. And they became men. You know, the guys I seen there who I was training with, the guys who came up are happy to see me, came up to me. Vito, man, you're still the man. You know, everything you ever said to us was true. I didn't lie to nobody. But the hardest thing was in the business back then was that everybody thought I was a jerk. I was mean. I was bad. But and I said this in my speech, and I'm debating whether to release it or not because it's
so emotional. They thought of you that way back then, but now they know. They know you're a stand-up guy.
But you know what it is? It was lonely because nobody wanted to be my friend and nobody wanted to hang with me and nobody took the time to open the cover to the book. I'm still the same guy I was back then. And it's just, you know, and I said, those guys taught me to be tough. Those guys taught me to be pros. And that's how you were. You were a pro. And I am my first year in the business and I'm being a pro and I'm being ridiculed for it. You know what I mean? And it brought a lot of emotion. It brought a lot of closure for me in some areas. I got a chance to thank my mother for sacrificing. You know, she wasn't here during any of my wrestling, but she was there for all my basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, and I never got a chance to celebrate any of my success with her. And, you know, basketball was my way out of where I was. And even when I graduated boot camp from the Army and I walked up those stairs and my mother seen me, it wasn't what we wanted. It wasn't what I was supposed to do, but I did it. And I came home and it just wasn't what I envisioned my life would be. You know what I mean? And when I couldn't take that scholarship and I couldn't do certain things and life threw me some curveballs, it was like, you know, but hopefully I put some closure to some things because if anybody doesn't know, every NBA draft, everyone, I sit and cry since I'm 19 years old because they all said, my mom sacrificed, my mom pulled two jobs and my mom did this. And they were able, because they made million-dollar contracts, they were able to share with their mothers who sacrificed mopping floors. I heard some stories throughout the years. And like, you know, my mom sacrificed for me too. I just never got a chance to say thank you. And, you know, I appreciate your sacrifices. And for any young person out there who listens to this podcast, and even for parents, if they get to share this with their kids, if I only listened to my mother and father, life would have been easier. And I think that goes for everybody who listens to podcasts, every adult, you, Virtue, everybody out there. That goes for everybody. And when you think about it, my mother used to tell me, do your chores, make your bed, do your vacuuming, dust, do your clothes, make your dinner.
Clean your room.
Mom, why do I have to do this? This is stupid. I don't want to do it. I want to go play basketball. Vito, what happens when I'm not here? and you have to take care of yourself. Who's going to wipe your ass when I'm gone? I said, Mom, you're not going nowhere. And sure enough, she left. Something to think about for adults when you see your parents, especially on Mother's Day, that I share this. And if she didn't teach me, I don't know where I'd be.
So, ditto. Same here, man. And you know, my mother passed away a couple years ago, yeah. And I thought about her all day. You know, even though I didn't leave the house and I was watching my puppy who got neutered Thursday, it's like my mom was there today with me watching him. You know,
I'm going to tell you two things before we start this podcast. You know, making your bed, boot camp. Nobody fucking aces their bed. Nobody. Vito LaGrasso aced his inspection of his bed. Private LaGrasso, outstanding. You have a perfect bed. Before he made this, if anybody has a perfect bed, there will be no PT for the day. And this son of a bitch went through the barracks. And he looked. Private LaGrasso, front and center. I said, oh, God, here it comes. You have the perfect bed. Who taught you how to make your bed, son? I said, my mother said I had to make my bed before I went to go play ball. Outstanding. She's a good woman. Now give me 25 for your mother for making you being having a good bed, right? So I do the 25. Everybody's looking at me to think we're going to get crushed. So, all right. Privates, I got to uphold my word. No PT today. Everybody cheers in the barracks. They go crazy, right? So the drill sergeant just freaking walks away from me, nods his head, and he walks away. Comes the next inspection. When I tell you I did this shit perfect, it was pin perfect. Vito, is it perfect? No PT today? Guys, we got this. This guy, right, he made it a point to knock down everybody's bed and throw everybody's shit on it. He comes to my bed. Private LaGrasso, I can't believe you did it again. But your shoes are out of line under your bunk. I can't believe it. I said, what are you talking about? They're right there. Private LaGrasso, are you talking back to me? Right?
Not so right. Was it like Sergeant Carter from Gomer Pyle over that guy?
It was Full Metal Jacket all the
full
way.
Full Metal right? Jacket, yeah. That.
Right? So he does it, right? And I look at him with this disbelief. It says, there's no way I failed. And he looks at me. He smiles and he walks away. It was like he had to prove a point. Mm-hmm. And he told me afterwards, Private LaGrasso, yes, Sergeant, you did a good job today. And I knew why he did it. I knew we had to suck it. But it was like, you did a good job today, Private LaGrasso. Now you go on and join the platoon. And I was like, but you fucked up my bed.
Good story, but, man.
It was a good story. And I just figured I'd tell you guys that listen to your mom and father, you know, pay attention, school, you know, do your chores, do everything. You never know when your mother and father are going to leave. And, you know, hopefully I'll be able to watch the NBA draft coming up and I'll be cool with it and I'll let it go. The second part of my story is my mother has always been around me. And when I had my condo, I used to turn on out my lights. And when my wife, you know, joined me, she used to come up for weekends. She says, Vito, did you shut? I know you shut the lights in your condo. I said, yeah, it's my mom. She turns them on before I come home. It was the funniest thing because I used to turn everything out. I was close all the doors, turn the lights out. In our bedroom today, I come home from the airport, right? So I'm unpacking. I'm talking. I gave my wife flowers. I took her to dinner today. And I hit the light by accident. And what happens? A year. Light goes on. And we look at each other. And I was like, well, she must have appreciated my speech. She's here. So Mom's spirit does live, guys. And I hope everybody remembers that your mother never leaves you. They just disappear for a little while. You're always going to see them again someday. But as I said, I hope everybody had a great Mother's Day, whether your mom was here or not. As long as you just do something to celebrate her existence and appreciation, we're cool. All right, Virtue, I know you got a great show. Sorry I had to do that. But
that was one of the segments, What's on Vito's Mind, so you got it out of the way.
We got it out of the way. All right. Thank you for getting me out of the way. Go ahead.
We're going to start off with a little game here while we talk about wrestling, because these people pop up on social media. Fans formulate their opinions in different ways than they used to. I'm going to ask you, unlikable, controversial, or simply unemployable, and I'm going to throw some names at you. So you tell me what your thoughts are on these people, what you know, your honest opinion, your gut feeling. Are these wrestlers unemployable, or are they just unlikable, controversial? And I'm going to start simple, easy first one, Enzo.
I was just talking to Enzo on Saturday.
Yep. So the Enzo. So you can. Speak your mind there.
This is to Enzo out there. I always thought him and Big Cass had the best entrance in wrestling. Yeah. What happened to him and Cass? And I talked to him all the time about it. And I say, man, you guys. I used to watch, and I was, I love your entrance and everything. And I said, Big Cass was on AEW, and I thought he was a full-timer on Impact, but he was a free agent. He went on AEW. He didn't have a deal, so I guess I don't know what they're going to do with him.
I think he's still with Impact, but they do that Forbidden Door thing, so he had that one appearance.
The inside scoop, okay. I got it. He is a free agent. They didn't renew his contract.
Well, that's interesting because I want to talk about him later. Based on that AEW appearance. So we'll talk about Enzo.
Enzo, right?
Yeah.
So is he controversial? No, because he's not in the news. Is he unemployable? No.
I agree.
Right? Because he didn't do anything to get convicted. It was like false accusations. I'm going to say this. And I told him this, I hope you get a second chance because you deserve it. Because when you had your time to shine, Cena had to take a back seat to you guys. You were that good and that hot.
Yeah.
And if the WWE don't put you back on TV, I think they're stupid. You know what I mean? Or anybody who doesn't hire Enzo and Kaz as a team, let them walk down the aisle and do their shtick. That's money because everybody loves that. So Enzo, by the way, I know it's going to be partial, but my wife is a big fan of Enzo. I think you know that. And the past couple times I've seen him with my wife being very sick, I say, hey, bro, can you do me a favor? He says, what's up? He says, mind speaking to my wife? She had a second stroke, and you mind talking to her? You know, she's a big fan. I spend all my money on your merch, so can you help out a little bit? So he started laughing. He's Vito. I said, anything you want. And he spoke to her for like 10 minutes the first time. He just spoke to her again. And she was going to travel, but she's not allowed to travel yet. But there's a guy took the time to speak to my wife, and I don't know him. Like, we're not boys.
Yeah.
Not nothing, but just a respect thing. You know what I mean? And I thank him out there all the time. And thank you, Enzo, for doing that. Makes my wife happy.
He helped Cass in his darkest hour.
Yes, he did.
Hours, he's perfect. Make-A-Wish guy. He likes to go do that stuff. So maybe they'll get a second chance in the big time. They should. These are going to get harder as they go. Tessa Blanchard recently departed from WOW for what we really don't even know.
Controversial, yes. Unemployable after she got the job of a lifetime from Jeannie Buss of the Lakers, courtside seats, good salary, in charge with AJ Lee, and something controversial happened where she's no longer there. Sometimes people don't learn from their mistakes and they let it go to their head. I don't think she'll ever ever get another chance like that again. I think she was making six figures, courtside seats, you know, the whole creme de la creme. I met Tessa Blanchard once or twice, not on a friendly basis with her. For me to speak badly of her would be wrong. But for the stuff that's in the news and what's out there, and no companies will touch her, I think she's unemployable, especially after this.
That's a fair opinion, man. It's hard. I mean, at this point, based on that run she had in Impact, she hasn't been anywhere close to television. So that's hard to disagree. All right. El Patron, Mr. Del Rio.
Guys,
told you they were going to get harder.
Unemployable. A lot of drama. A lot of baggage. I never met him before. But what you read in the news and what you read what he's about and all the things he went to, how could you put him on your show and promote him with domestic violence? Not once, but twice that was in the news. Fighting against cases. Being accused of more in Mexico. You know, how do you bring this guy back on TV as your champion or even their children or anything and promote yourself in the community?
Yeah, it's harder today than back in the day where he could have went to a territory and probably been okay because the news didn't spread. The negative news didn't spread like it does today.
Now, you know, for what I'm saying, I'm going on what's out there in the public.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I dislike him. I don't know him. I actually enjoy his matches. But what comes with him, it's hard to look and separate things.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to say on him.
So to catch up with you, yes, Enzo, perfectly employable. Tessa's becoming more and more unemployable as the months go by. And Del Rio, at this point in his career, unemployable. Here's a guy, the fourth final person. I think they're perfectly employable and controversial. And I know they've said some really nasty things on social media.
Go ahead.
Ryback. I want to know what you think about Ryback. I think he could be a major asset, even if it's just a heel to put a baby face over because the crowd's going to hate him. I think Ryback, man, he still has... He has a following. He's got some controversy around him because his, you know, fighting for the Ryback name, he's blacklisted or whatever on social media where he's not, I don't know, he's verified, but he doesn't get the attention that, you know, other people with 4 million followers would. It's just very weird. What do you think about Ryback?
Okay.
Honestly.
The first thing you said was what? What was the first thing, category you said? You had unemployable, we use last.
Oh, well, controversial and...
All right, controversy. Let's stick with the controversy. Then you named the second one. Controversy.
Unlikable is right there with controversial as well.
Okay. The thing that got me, and this is the God's honest truth, right? Everybody knows... I had my differences with the WWE on how they treat the boys and what you stand up for. Never once do you attack anyone's wife, and it's sacrilegious to call somebody's mother a whore.
And he did that.
You don't do that. You want to fight, you fight clean. When you bring mothers and wives into your beef, no matter how right you are about what you believe in, you're wrong. Because we're men, and men fight against men, and you want to take it outside, we can find a corner, we can find a street, we can find a back alley, we can go do what we want, right? But when you say in the public, and you got 4 million followers, and Vince McMahon has 10 million followers, let's just say, right? He's a round figure.
And correction on Ryback, it's 2 million.
2 million. Okay.
2 million, but that's a lot.
And you say his mother's a whore, and you know Vince McMahon's background. He came from nothing. He came from abused. You know, remember, like I said, no matter how rich you are, there's ghetto in everybody's house, right? I know you read it on Facebook. It is the truth.
I've heard that from you.
Exactly. So when I say that, it's true. Does Vince McMahon have ghetto in his house? Yeah. You don't think so? Well, believe me, people, he's got it. If you know, whether his mother's a whore or not, it's not for public knowledge. It's not for public fighting. You don't speak of some dead woman, a dead person who's not here to fight their battle. Now, Virtue, you're peaceful, you're controversial when you're going against these Twitter people, right? But nobody ever attacked your mother or father. If they did, they would have crossed the line with you. You know what I mean? And I would have said something because, like, I don't dig that. I don't dig the mother-father thing. I don't think you're talking about somebody or somebody's wife. You know, if somebody's wife runs around and she does things, you know, that's for you to deal with. It's not for the public opinion, you know? So is he unemployable? Yes, because of those words she said, because social media. Hulk Hogan said the N-word one time, ruined his career.
But he's back. I just feel you could tell Vince McMahon the worst thing in the world, and if he thinks there could be money made from you, he'd bring you back. And I don't know. Maybe there's no money to be made with Ryback on that grand scale, but I think Vince would overlook that if he thought Ryback could make him money or put a baby face over.
Sometimes a guy like Vince McMahon will look at things. You know, Vince McMahon does bring back people. It is an evil business, and he does bring people back. But none
that
of those
he butted
people,
heads with, too. Yeah.
Yeah. But none of those people ever attacked his family or his daughter or his grandchildren or granddaughters. Guys, there's plenty of things to say about somebody. I just don't believe in it. You know what I mean? It's just not me. If I got beef with you, handle your beef. So I'm going to give Ryback, even though I like him, I really do. I have no beef with Ryback at all. I think his verbiage on controversy with Vince McMahon is terribly wrong. Does he owe the man an apology to say, hey, I was overheated. I was emotional. I shouldn't have said that. And I do take it back because if he did it in the right way or issue an apology, I think that would clear things up. But when he left it like that, he left it hard. Like Mike's hard, double hard lemonade. He stuck it out there, boy.
I think he retweeted it too after.
He did. Yeah. And I'm like, wow. I mean, when I seen your mother is a whore. Vince McMahon is 60 years old. And, you know, who was back
75,
then?
75, I think.
75 years old. And if you don't know, right, if a woman turned tricks back then, they used to put, say, she's nickel, right? You know why? Because she used to charge 5 cents for this and 5 cents for that. There's Nickel Vera. There's Nickel Vivian. There's Nickel Marcy, right? Because nickel used to symbolize that your mother used to do some stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Annette 85 said it doesn't need to be sold out in the public, especially if the person is no longer with us. People need to have respect always. You are so true. It is so true. That's why Virtue, and I'll use you an example. You have had your wars with the trolls, right? But you never attacked people's families. You kept it wrestling. And nobody has ever attacked you, I don't believe, on that level.
And the people I get nasty with on Twitter don't have a profile pic. It's a fake name, zero followers. Right. You don't know who it is. It's a troll. But yeah.
I hear you. Right. Now, take this, right? Let's take this into consideration, right? Now, Virtue and I are in relationships. I say relationships, right? And significant others, because he has a very lovely lady who's beside him. And, you know, she's had some health issues like my wife has had health issues. Now, if these people were to attack their health issues, how would you take that? You'd say, of all the things you could say, you know what I mean? I hope your wife dies of COVID, asthma, and a fucking another stroke. you dirty son of a bitch. You know, and as a Virtue's young lady, she's had some heart problems, right? And if somebody said, I hope you die, your heart gives out, and you do this, and you'd scarlet, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's nasty. It's people face death, and you wish death on people. Nothing ever good happens to you. I swear to God, and I hate that with a passion. Just be honest with people. Just, you're going to, I avoid fighting. I hate fighting. I don't, social media and fighting, oh, I won't even answer you. But if you say something rugged enough, and I see you, I will fucking slap you. I don't give a shit because that's just me. I've been like that my whole life.
Yeah. Staten Island.
But Virtue, if somebody said something about your lady, now I use Virtue again. I'm not attacking him. He's my pal. He's my buddy. He's a personal friend of mine and the family. But if somebody attacked Virtue and said that, I know he would. He's not a physical person, but I know sure as hell he'd raise a hand or two and to take care of business.
Yeah, I'd have to bust out my karate when I was a kid, my black belt.
Yeah, or he'd call my number 917 888-5000. Hey, Vito, want me to trip to Cleveland?
Exactly. So yeah, catch your narrative, right? That's a maybe Rybacks of the world and the Braun Strowmans, and you can have the controversial wrestlers all go over there with EC3 and make a buzz. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, listen. You know, yeah. Braun, let's talk about Braun Strowman. You bring up a good point. Braun Strowman and EC3, it's the narrative, right? They're projecting, right? So when you look at it, what is their narrative? You know what I mean? They want to speak. I know they are Trump supporters from what I gather because they don't look at it. I'm not into it as diehard, right? Mm-hmm. I met EC3, very intelligent young man. Very nice. But what is the narrative of that? They don't focus on bad. They just focus on certain beliefs and what's going on. Now, is that true, what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's so early in that right now. But yeah, basically, almost like a freedom of speech wrestling promotion. If this is what you want to present yourself at, we have a spot for you. That's why Tessa Blanchard, you know, and that doesn't mean if that's the way they're doing that promotion, but you're a hassle backstage that you're going to fit there. But the controversial figures to me would be great to make that seem like a rising underground promotion, like a Lucha Underground used to be, like ECW used to be. I mean, you never know what could become of something. It could be a flop.
But you know what? It's a different era of wrestling too, because in the beginning of the podcast, I talked about how I was brought up in the wrestling business. And you talk about men with men bodies. You know who jumped up and said hello to me who I haven't seen in a long time? Probably the toughest man.
Nunzio. I mean, because, you know, you're saying men with big bodies. By the way, did you work? You worked him.
Yes. Didn't you? Yes.
I don't know who. You'll have to tell me.
Haku.
Oh, Ming, huh?
So when you talk about tough men in the business and you talk about guys who are indestructible, and a guy like that jumps up out of his seat and he comes over and hugs you in front of everybody in the place, you know, that's respect. Like the respect I said to earlier, you get up and you go say hello and shake those guys' hands. He's such a happy person. He goes, Vito, you come over here, you son of a bitch. Got up when I seen Tugboat, and I went to the whole convention and I shook hands. Tugboat, Vito, oh my God, it's great to see you. Gets up and is the man who's still 6'6" and massive.
Yeah,
these big men, Bill Eady, who when I seen him again, I thanked him for breaking me into business and taking the time to teach me. And he told me, he said, Vito, you did a great speech. That is a show of
that is
you didn't waste your time teaching somebody, and I turned out to be a man, and I'm not just some kid who had talent and I had swag and I was arrogant and I could back it up and I was tough. Those guys made me tough because if I got out of line, I had to face some heavy hitters, and those guys were heavy. You realize that Bill Eady and Haku, and I bring this up, you realize these guys tagged with Andre the Giant. And these guys were the biggest and baddest team you'll ever meet in your life. And I used to stand there. Haku is still a big man, thick hands. Bill Eady is still a big man. And these guys aren't in that ring-shaped persona where they're grand. They're still big men. But imagine Andre the Giant with you. And these guys used to wrestle Andre the Giant.
Yep.
And there's no crying. And there's no nothing. You stood there. And these guys chopped you. You took it, but God damn it, I chopped you back. Like, oh, look at this kid. Look at it. He's got some balls. Look at this. Chopping Bill Eady. Chopping Haku. And you're like, imagine if I had the chance to wrestle Andre the Giant, and from how I was brought up, he probably would have loved me to death, because if he would have hit me, I would have hit him back. And he would have looked at me like, are you crazy? Come on, motherfucker. Come on.
Classic stuff. I would have loved to have seen that,
Oh, my God. Hey, listen, some of the things and people I was going to fight in the wrestling business, you'd say, no effing way. And I have to look back and I say, I had a pair of king size balls that do no got bigger than King Kong, and the guys that were going to fight probably some of the baddest men in wrestling. And you go like, all right, you want to fuck with me? I gotta fuck with you, man. I don't give a shit who you are. But that was a long time ago, and I'm glad it never came out like that. But to everybody out there who ever wrestled me, all those veterans, thank you very much for teaching me and making me a man, because you really guys were like father figures in some way. And I really did grow up in the wrestling business by these guys.
Classic. Now we got one more topic. Time for one more topic here, because we got to cover this one because it's our main topic. So Vito.
Good.
He was mentioned on NBA on TNT by Charles Barkley. Acknowledge him. He was the number one searched wrestling personality in April, Roman Reigns. And recently, you were in New Jersey. They did a house show in Trenton, or wherever Trenton's at, PA, New Jersey. Right. He basically said things are going to change and you might not see him as much at some point. What? And that could be him working to make him, he could have been told to say that by Heyman to make people think he's going to retire soon. So he seems like a bigger draw and everything he does seems more important. What's Roman saying here? Is this Hollywood? He's had the health issues before, but I think he's doing pretty good in that front. Hollywood, part-time schedule. Is he going to get the Brock Lesnar schedule? What do you think's going on with Roman Reigns, who's pretty popular for today's standards outside of the wrestling bubble compared to other wrestlers? Not like we used to have him, like The Rock and Cena, but he's that next guy that he has a little bit of notoriety outside of wrestling. Charles Barkley's mentioning him. What did he mean this weekend?
Guys, I think as you get into the wrestling business, the younger guys who have success and they become something, they look at plan B a lot sooner than sticking with plan A. And if you don't have to hump the roads and hump the ring and you can save your body and you can make the same money, does that mean that you're not the same person, or you're trying to take care of yourself and prolong yourself?
He's 36 years old.
36 with health problems, and he had to step away one time, right? So does he want to wrestle?
In the middle of the best run of his career, undoubtedly, right? Right. Because of how it's worked out.
Well, John Moxley took a hiatus, and he needed to step back. And there are a lot of wrestlers who take a hiatus, and they step back for health reasons. But I think in this era of wrestling, because of the money and popularity and social media and all the different avenues where you can make a dollar, I think it's easier to step away once you have that success. Now, Roman Reigns is probably the last of a dying breed of the main superstar that we have. Mm-hmm. They're not making them no more. And they're not pushing people like that anymore. Right? So they're letting you get to a certain level and they pull you back down. I met the Ballywood boys for the first time. And I said, guys, they never met me. They sat next to me. I said, guys, you really guys had a good one. You know what got me hot? He goes, what? I says, Jinder Mahal finally got it after 6 months of being champion. He knew how to cut a promo. He finally had great matches. And they took the title off him. You don't know how to be champion when you get there. It's a learning process on the job. And once you get it, the thing that sucks people, as they did to all the current champions, is they job you out and they don't put you right back there. Look at Bobby Lashley. I said it was going to happen. They let him have a run. They put him out, job city. They put him back as champion, as a transition champion, and then they took it back from him. It did the same thing to The Miz. They don't let them be as big as can be, but Miz has got an acting career. Bobby Lashley, right, is still active in wrestling. You never heard of him doing a plan B. He is still on plan A. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre, another champion who had a run. They pulled it from him. Job City. Now he's a challenger. He's not a champion anymore.
Yep. And he's probably going to not win it because right. It's Roman. I feel they're going to back Roman down to more of a Brock Lesnar part-time special attraction thing because of all these stadium shows coming up, which will make him have to travel less, work less. I still think they got him and The Rock in the books, ready to do this thing next year. Question is, after that, Vito, could that be when it's time to go to Hollywood, go home? I doubt he'll go to – I think he's a WWE lifer or he's on to bigger and better things like Hollywood. I don't think you're going to see Roman Reigns in AEW. I'm just
– I don't think it's going to be AEW. I don't think it's AEW bound. I think you said bigger and better things. Bigger and better mean Hollywood.
Yes.
Or better, movies.
And that he has been in a movie. He didn't have any words, but he was in a fighting scene. Hobbs and Shaw, like a Fast and the Furious spinoff with The Rock. But he's already had his foot in the door.
He's got his foot in the door, guys. So what does that mean? He'll have – if he – there's a guy who won't wrestle after 40 if he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Randy Orton.
Kind of what The Rock did, right? I mean, he did a couple after, but not
a couple, Cena. But not yeah. Cena, right?
Punk and Cena, I think.
Randy Orton is a lifer. That guy is wrestling. He's second generation. That's what he knows. He doesn't need, if he retired tomorrow, he'll go off into the sunset and do whatever he wants. He doesn't have to worry about money. Made his money 20 years on top in the wrestling business. He's got a couple in the bank. He's secure. Ric Flair. Now, my wife brought this up to me. Ric Flair, there's a guy who's been up and down, down and up, down and up.
Yeah, a lot more than health, anybody.
Health reasons, scrutiny, drama. It's Ric Flair. Unhirable.
Oof. Right. This, I mean, don't they always say time heals wounds, though? I mean, Warrior came back and had the Hall of Fame segment.
Yeah, but Ric Flair's come back from the dead 7 times in his career. But how many times? He went to Impact after WrestleMania. He did come back to the WWE. He was in a certain capacity. But after all the antics and everything that he's done and the greatness that he's achieved, is he hireable? After the Dark Side of the Ring, he was just this close to signing with AEW. They pulled it from him.
Right? Yeah, that's a coin flip, man. It's because of his legacy saves it to at least keep it a coin flip.
Right.
But I can't say he is for sure hireable, but I won't say that he's not yet. I don't know.
Okay. Mm. I want to say one more thing.
Yep.
And I want this to be a message to everybody out there. And I'm going to talk about somebody's career. And I'm not saying this in a negative way. everybody knows about Sonny Tammy Stitch. Okay. Now, I have no issues with her whatsoever, and I do like her. She's not a bad person. She just has bad problems. And when you see everything that has happened, and you know, you look at her career, it's golden. Oh my God, you know, how beautiful, and you know, Hall of Fame beautiful. She got herself back in Hall of Fame beauty, and you look at her and you say, she's smart, she's educated, she's college educated, she could have been a doctor. And for people to have problems, and then some of the problems that she's been accused of lately, you know, I say accused, you look at it and say, what went wrong? You know, was there ever a plan B? And you don't have to be a fan of Sonny, you don't have to ridicule her, but I think it's a sad ending to a brilliant career. And I just hope that everybody out there who's a wrestler wants to get into something, always have a plan B, guys. And if you need help, get the help you need. There's no shame in asking for help.
Yep.
You know, if you're doing something, or you know, you're doing something and it gets out of hand, take a step back, man. You know, take a chill. If you know something's wrong and life is not going right, take a step back. You know, I hope that she gets the proper help now and straightens out. And I would wish her nothing but the best. But guys, if you could be this, then you wind up to this, and you just say, I want to stay this. And remember, your mother and father didn't waste their time making you. They wanted you to be something, whether it's a doctor, a lawyer, a baseball player, the president of the United States, whatever it is. Try to always keep that in mind when you do things. You want to do prestigious things. You want to do quality things. You want to be a good person. You want to be a good family man or a family woman. You want to be the best there is. Not, you don't always be the best, but you try. Put your best foot forward. So I think that's how we're going to end the show tonight.
Yep. Well said, Vito. Another great edition of Getting Color. And you know you can follow Vito on Twitter at the Big Vito Brand. You can follow me at NoDQ_Virtue. We do this each and every week right here on the BigVitoBrand.com. Check out the Patreon, which is patreon.com/BigVMafia. For Big Vito LaGrasso, I am Virtue, and this has been Getting Color. Words of wisdom from the man, the myth, the legend, Big Vito LaGrasso. And I could sit here and listen to him talk the whole time, but I got to feed him some news once in a while. So thank you for watching and listening, and we will see you again next time.